Good afternoon. Welcome. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. On behalf of the family, I would really like to thank you for being here this afternoon to celebrate and be upbeat about how we celebrate and remember Ed Vander. So thank you for being here. It is special to the family, and this church community never lets us down. So one thing, can we remember to turn our cell phones off? That's pretty important. So without further ado, let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, we are here today to be together. We are together to love each other, hold each other, and know that you are present in this community of faith. You are with each one of us as we celebrate the life of Ed Vander. We so thank you for giving him to us. It is a pleasure. So thank you. Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 23. Listen now for God's word to our hearts today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Friends, this is God's word for us. Thanks be to God for this gift.
Our second reading today comes from Luke 24. Verses 13 through 33. It is the walk to Emmaus. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us They were at the tomb early this morning. And when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. The word of the Lord read and spoken today. Thanks be to God. I wish I could belly laugh like Ed Vander. His laugh is something I will never forget. And his laugh is something that I have continued to remember and think of ever since I was small. I am glad that not everyone can laugh like that. Because Ed's laugh is just one of the many things that made him special. I think one of the awesome things about Ed's laugh is that when he laughed, it made me feel good. I hope you all have someone like that in your life. Someone by just being around them or when they were in your presence, it just makes you feel safe and good. Ed was like that. You know, you don't have to worry in case something broke, because if something did break and Ed was around, you knew it will be fixed. Maybe that's why he was around our house often. Since the Vanders more or less lived around the corner, Ed could be called upon easily. Now, it kind of went like this. I would be in the yard minding my own business, doing what young boys do, and Ed would come walking down the driveway. I'd look up or over, and I'd say, "Oh, hey, hi, Mr. Vander." His first response: "First, are you behaving yourself?" And then his second response was, "What did you break?" Right? My response, of course, would be nothing, or yes, nothing. He then would ask where my mom was. She would come out, and they would converse. Maybe she would ask him if he wanted some coffee. He would respond in his sarcastic but loving voice, "Coffee?" Belly laugh. "I'll take a beer." My mom would go get him a beer. I would then continue to go on doing whatever I was doing. Ed would start fixing whatever was broke. My mother hovering over him, trying to tell him how to fix whatever he was fixing. And a humorous and light-hearted banter would break out. Two things are guaranteed. Well, actually, three things are guaranteed. One, he would say loudly, "Oh, really?" Two, he would have then given us his Hall of Fame belly laugh, because I'm sure my mother made him laugh or something. And of course, the third thing would be whatever he needed to get fixed would in fact get fixed. As he would leave, he'd yell over at me, "David, behave yourself." Servanthood, follower, good listener. These are just a few of the traits that Ed possessed. They are biblical traits. Ed was a child of God, a doer, and a servant. He was a disciple. He was a disciple that could very easily have been overlooked. Because I don't remember Ed leading a mission meeting. But I do remember Ed participating in service to others through mission. I don't remember Ed leading the trustees, but I do remember seeing him pretty dirty and walking out of the furnace room because it was really cold on a Sunday morning and there was no heat. And the furnace needed to be fixed. I don't ever remember Ed being one of my youth group leaders, but I sure do remember riding in his car, getting a ride home from a youth event. Ed certainly wasn't riding his bike during all those bike-a-thons. But none of us would have been able to get home, get our bikes home, if it weren't for Ed Vander. There was a small group of families who would plan the church camping weekend every summer. And the Vanders were part of that group. You could say that Ed was a leader during that time, but I'm sure Joanne okayed all his suggestions. The light tap. But we certainly wouldn't have had some of the biggest bonfires I've ever seen in my life if it weren't for the fact that Ed Vander every year would drive down to Skybrook Campground with his trailer overflowing with huge pieces of wood so we could, in addition to the square dancing, have the most important community building time of our weekend, the Saturday night camp. The family reminded me that I, taking on the role of fire builder, created even a larger fire. Maybe I did. But there's a reason. I wanted to honor those who started this tradition. Ed was one of those I wanted and want to honor. I don't remember ever seeing Ed Vander stand here at the pulpit reading the word or leading in prayer. But I do remember him standing at the doors, handing out bulletins and being welcoming. I remember him I remember watching him pass the offering plate because these are things that a disciple does. These are the things that a doer does. Ed Vander did not need to stand in the pulpit and read Scripture because he embodied what Scripture says. James 1, 22 through 25 from the Good News. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. If you listen to the word but do not put it into practice, you are like people who look in a mirror and see themselves as they are. They take a good look at themselves and then go away and once forget what they look like. But if you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free and keep on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice, you will be blessed by God in what you do. I hear Ed Vander in those words, don't you? It is fitting that we celebrate, reminisce, and cry during this time of Lent. The Lenten season asks many things of us. God is asking us to look inside of ourselves, meditate, and be transforming in how we look at ourselves, how we look at others, and how we will just be. God is asking us to walk the hard road. Certainly right now, Ed's family is walking a hard road. Just like Lent, sometimes it's very hard to find the light. The time leading up to Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross was very many times dark. As we walk the path, like our two disciple friends did, it is very hard to see. They were walking as the sun was sinking, and it was hard for them to see. But during this hard time, remember, as people of faith, and I really do think this is true of that, as he was so dedicated to the life of faith, we go onward as Christians. We will continue to go on, not as people looking and walking into the sunset, but as people who walk towards the sunrise. What did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. This is what we strive for. This is what Ed lived. And this is the promise of the resurrection. This is the good news. Our disciple Ed is now sitting at the table having that meal, breaking bread with the Lord Jesus Christ, having a cold beer, and then an excellent belly rub. Amen.
As the pastor of this church, when Dave was growing up, I could tell lots of stories about that, but that's another time. And I certainly appreciate what he had to say. I've known Ed Vander for 42 years, and he was our golf partner for 15 or 20 years every week. We were there together. But I know Ed, and I don't think he'd like me to get up here and just go on and on about his good qualities, because he wasn't that kind of guy, and he certainly wouldn't want to portray himself as an angel with wings. He, like all of us, had his shortcomings. He could be grouchy, just like the rest of us. He could sometimes not say very much. He always timed my sermons and let me know if they were too long. He always complained because I liked lemon and sugar in my iced tea, and he thought that was terrible. So there were his normal qualities that we all have. But as David was saying, that if you were in need of something to be done, if you needed a friend, then Ed Vander would be the person to look for. Because he did that, and he certainly loved this church. Just being an usher and greeting people with a smile. He and Buzz Bauman kept the lawnmowers in this church going long before, after they should have been probably put to rest. And all those good things he did. I would call Ed an ordinary Christian. And I mean that as the greatest compliment we can pay an individual. Ed was not one, as David suggested, who wanted to preach. He preached to me, but he didn't want to preach to other people. And he didn't need to be a leader in everything he did, but if he just simply day after day walked this walk that Jesus calls us all to walk, a walk of compassion and caring, a concern about people. And in a way, that was found also in his marriage to Joanne. Theirs was not one of these dream marriages where everything agreed. He shopped at Aldi's. She liked Tops. He loved onions, and she hated them. But together, they shaped this wonderful, wonderful life of all these memories of camping and family events and all the things that are really a precious, precious commodity for all of us to remember. And together, through some good times and not so good times, they always had this grace and this joy that I think is a really great gift for us. We live in troubled times. Kids dying in schools without purpose, leaders who can't seem to work together. And so we need to pause and to thank God in a very sincere way for one life that reminds us about how things can be good and what we're all supposed to be. I mean, each of us has to light a candle in our own part of the world, and that's what Ed did in his own way. And so we want to thank God for this wonderful, wonderful gift of Ed Vander, and I know we're all going to miss him a lot. We need to pray for the family, as David suggested, and as some of you already know who are here. This is a tough time. You never lose a loved one without feeling deep grief and concern. And so we need to surround the whole Vander family with our prayers and our commitment to support them and whatever they do. But in this time in which there's a lot of trouble, a lot of downtime, I think we need to remember the words of our Lord who said, I am with you now and always. As we go forth from here, I think maybe we should all remember that when we get up tomorrow morning, that Jesus said, I am with you now, on Monday, Friday, the rest of your life, and always. Praise God.
Thank you all so much for coming. It just has warmed our hearts to see so many people, and we appreciate you taking the time. Mark is inviting everybody back to his house, and we'll be down to the down the fellowship hall seeing people too, but you're more than welcome to come. Come early. We have people at the house that will be there to greet you and stuff, and we'll get there as soon as we can, but everyone is welcome. And I want to thank so many people, Melissa, Katie, David, for participating today and always being there to support us. It's been a wonderful time that you came and spoke with him, and we just appreciate that so much. And for the congregation and everybody, and then for the music group, Chris Oman and Rick Howe, and then Jim Van Brunner will be doing music. And I really want to thank my family. They just have been so supportive. My daughter has everyone's had a thing. She was my emotional support. And when times are time, she would come home, and there would I'd come home, and there would be a card on the table. Just I'd take 2 days to have to read it for what she wrote in the card, and was always there for everything. And my son, we lived next door to him, so we were a pain, but he is the most awesome guy. My nickname is the Energized Bunny for him. He's done everything for us, just as the way Tracy has. And my daughter-in-law, who's more of a daughter than a daughter-in-law, and she has my back and had Ed's back. But the funny thing is, she was the only one that could control Ed. He was afraid of her. When he found out that she was coming, he'd get up and run and go get the vacuum cleaner, because she knew when he came in, she'd give it to him. And my granddaughter, Sandra, is not like a normal granddaughter. She was so kind and helps me all the time, takes me shopping, and I could call her and say, people are coming over, can you come and help me pick up? And she'd be right there. Anytime I called, if she wasn't working or something, she was right there. And my sisters and all their sons and daughter have just been absolutely wonderful. And we are so blessed to have you friends in the family. And I just want to thank everybody. And then I was going to say a few things for Ed. One of the first things I'm going to say, you'll think I'm drinking or smoking something. Ed was, when I first met him, it was on a blind date. He was a very gentleman, quiet, very quiet, shy man. And as the years came on, he really became himself. And I have a girlfriend that went to grade school with him, and she went to high school with me. And we reconnected years later at the Y and started doing things for the husband and things. And she comes over to me and says, what happened to the Eddie I used to know? He was a lot of fun. And he was a jokester, as everybody said. And he was a wonderful father to the kids. Everything they went to all growing up, he took them, did things with them. He was the Cubs. 43 school did not have a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout leader. And Ed was very involved, and so was his father in Cub Scout. And he wanted his son to have that. So not like himself, as David said, leader. He was the leader. He started the troop, the Cub Scout pack. And then when Mark went up to Boy Scouts, he started the Boy Scout troop. And he really loved it. And he, did things when Mark was 3 years old, they started going trucking, going looking for trucks. Mark hopped in the truck and go. And when Tracy, he said, he wanted to do something with her. He's done so much with Mark, so then he started coaching soccer with her. And he went to all their plays and everything. He just really enjoyed the children. And he always said Tracy was his daughter. He loved her, and he gave her a necklace before she went to college, Daddy's little girl. And he just did things like that. We just appreciate the fun that we had. We were so thankful that we went on the mission trip to Mexico. It was one of the best times we had. And as our life was going down, with health and things, we had so many memories of different trips and camping trips. And we were so blessed to have that, because you never know when times are going to be where you can't. And he really, really loved God, and he had so much faith in it, kept us going. And we just cannot say enough for how all these friends supported us. And I just, his interests were in bowling in the beginning. He never was going to golf. He thought it was a dumb thing. And he would get, you know, just mock the people that were golfing and laughing. And he was camping at the time, loved bowling. And cutting grass, as has been said, is his favorite thing. He used to say, after we left Kodak, he wanted to cut grass. Well, for 15 years, he worked at golf courses and cut grass. And then his last experience was at Total Lust Sports on Elm Grove, and he cut that grass for a couple of years. And, of course, he always was working with cutting the church grass. And Mark owns these houses and things, so he was always busy doing them, and his daughter Tracy's. So cutting grass was his favorite. Besides, then he became involved. Frank Isley got him to go golfing one time. He became in love with it, and then now he was golfing once a week. And I used to say to Bob and Buzz, I'll pay you if you take him a more. And so I just want to thank everybody for being with us. And see you later. Thank you.
On the way down here, I was kind of curious what Ed and George Polavik are doing right about now.
I come to the garden alone while the dew's still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as he tarried there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave in me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as he tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night all around me is falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe, a voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as he tarry there, none other has ever known.
Won't you join with me in a time of prayer? Gentle God, Creator and Savior, giver and redeemer of life. We praise you that we are made in your image and reflect your truth and light. We thank you for the life of your child, Ed Vander, for the love he received from you and he shared with all of us. We ask now that you hold and sustain Ed's family, all those who surrounded him with love during his life, for his wife, Joanne, and their family, Mark and wife, Eileen, and Tracy, their grandchildren, Sandra and Carl, for all their family and friends, for all those gathered here and those who could not be here today. Hear us now, O God, as we silently give you thanks for our own personal memories of Ed. Today and always, we praise your name, O God, for sharing Ed with us. Spirit of life, our love and hope is in you, that though Ed's life has ended here on earth, we trust that he is united with you in a place where there will never be an end to love. And in your name, we pray together, using the words of our own traditions, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And now, as you are comfortable and able to do so, please rise as we sing together from the Purple Hymnal, number 69, Here I Am, Lord. Thank you.
Holy God, by your creative power you gave us life, and in your redeeming love you have given us new life in Christ. We commend Ed, our brother Ed, to your merciful care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you always. Amen.